Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Great deception took hold in ancient Israel, leading to idolatry and judgment. The same deceptions infect the thinking of today. The news is filled with the same destructive mindset that caused God to haul Israel into Babylon. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on the Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a Spirit-filled witness. Now, Erwin Lutzer talks again about a time when darkness is called light and light darkness.
I think of another time, and that is somewhere along the line, it was concluded that in our public schools there could be no reference to a creator, that science had to be taught as it is and as it has been in all atheistic countries, where there can be no appeal to God whatever, that we just came from an amoeba, is that the word? I forget where I came from. And somehow we all developed into who we are today. Explosion in a print factory, and the result was a Webster's Dictionary. People were asked to believe that. So we came up through the animal kingdom, like the monkey said in the zoo, "Am I my keeper's brother?" He asked that question. And the implications of coming through the animal kingdom, huge in terms of who we are, in terms of the uniqueness of human life and so forth. It has to do with all kinds of issues in society. But we said, we're excluding God. We're excluding the designer. I think it was Carl Sagan who said, "Design, yes, but designer, no." In other words, we're going to do our own thing. Something else happened. We were at the crossroads, and I don't know exactly when this happened or why it happened, because I'd have been alive during this period of time, obviously. And as I look at this congregation, I realize that some of you also would have been alive during that period of time. You can oftentimes tell by the color of your hair. And that is political correctness, destroying us. This week, I was on the telephone with a woman who investigates textbooks, among other things. And she talked about this company that published a textbook that said that 37 pages, she said, was given to Islam, how Islam gave us peace and architecture and a great civilization. Christianity, 13 pages, headlined the Crusaders. Christianity gave us the Crusades. Christianity did this and that. And there is a Muslim informant, or informer, I should say, on the committee who said that he is going to make textbooks pro-Islamic, and if anyone disagrees with him, he said, "I will call them Islamophobic, intolerant, and racist." So that's the way it is. So everybody bows down and says, "Well, who wants to be intolerant and racist and Islamophobic?" Now, if you're here today and as a Muslim or you're listening to this message, let me say that we are so glad that you are listening, and we are not painting all of Islam with the same brush. I'm simply telling you what someone told me this past week. We have become paralyzed. And Europe especially, I could go into that, but we must hurry on. So that's a third time when we're at the crossroads and we chose the wrong direction, the great sin of intolerance. You know, someone wrote these words, and I hope that I can find them here. "If you can believe that there are no absolutes, and believe that absolutely. If you can teach young minds that there are no objective truths, and yet you teach this truth objectively. If you can close your mind to the ideas of those whom you consider to be close-minded, if you can refuse to tolerate anyone you choose to label intolerant, If you consider it immoral to stand against immorality, if you can make the judgment that judgmentalism is wrong, and you can further make the judgment that others who judge things to be wrong are just too judgmental, if you can force others to conform to your idea of diversity, well, it goes on. The idea is, at the end of the line, you really are PC, politically correct, paralyzed. Then there's a fourth point at which we chose the wrong path, and that has to do with same-sex marriage. And for those of you who struggle with same-sex attraction, just hear me out. And that is, as a result, the destruction of a marriage is well on its way. And that's why a governor can sign a bill that says that you can have more than two parents. Boys, if they're transgender, can go into girls' washrooms. What's really going on there is a violent revolt against creation, femininity and masculinity. And so we as a nation are changing the rules, and we are choosing the wrong path. God says very clearly, he says, choose the ancient path. That doesn't mean that we should live in the past. You can learn from the past without living in the past. And God says that we as a nation must choose the right path, the ancient paths. But they said, we will not walk in it. Pay attention to the sound of the trumpet, God says. But they said, we will not pay attention. And now we should all weep. Therefore, O nation, O congregation, what will happen to them? Behold, I'm bringing disaster upon this people because they have not paid attention to my words. The Bible is a smooth path for a very difficult journey. But that's where we should go to for wisdom. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We must choose the ancient path. And if our nation doesn't, we must individually and personally and as a church choose the ancient paths. Now, there's a fourth lie, and perhaps it's the worst and the most sobering. It's the lie that the loss of the presence of God is not fatal to worship. In other words, God's presence can leave and we can go on worshiping. You have to understand when you read the book of Jeremiah that Ezekiel was also written during this period of time. And Ezekiel is the one who sees the glory of God leave. I think the description is in the 10th chapter of Ezekiel where he says, the glory of God went to the threshold of the tabernacle. Then the glory of God went to the outskirts of the city, and then beyond that, the glory of God disappeared on the other side of the Mount of Olives. The glory of God left, but the people kept worshiping, with or without the presence of God. Isn't this very interesting? Once again, your Bibles are open, and it says this in chapter 7, and I'm now in verse 3. Thus says the Lord of hosts of Israel, amend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you dwell in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. Parenthesis. Next week's message is on false prophets. It'll probably want to be one of the most important in this series of messages because they were the ones that were giving the deceptive words. I'm even going to try to teach you how to detect a false prophet because they are everywhere. So don't trust in deceptive words. And here they are. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. I mean, we're worshiping in God's house. So why won't he deliver us? God goes on to say, you're bringing all of your sins and you're not dealing with them. And the people said, you know, we can go on with the ritual. We can still sing the right songs. We can go to temple. We can go to church. We can do all these things and still have God and still be religious, whether his presence is there or not. You know, the most distinctive indication of the people of God is that his presence should be among us. When people come into Moody Church, they should say, "Surely God is in this place." May it never be said that his presence will leave us, but we can't take it for granted, can we? Now, why this love of darkness? Jesus said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. I told you that I was going to give you some hope because, first of all, we paint the darkness, then we paint the light. First of all, please keep in mind that the reason for all of these chapters, and we've only touched a few verses, but the reason is because God is saying, "What do I need to say to you so that you'll come back to me?" The whole purpose, despite its harshness, and you know, that's why I put off preaching this series for a long time, because there's something in Jeremiah that doesn't really fit my nature in terms of wanting to preach. I'd much rather be preaching a very positive message. And there's a room for that and a time for that. But what God is saying in all of this is, don't you see how serious sin is? And you must turn to me. That's the whole point. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. And even as you listen to this series of messages, I hope that you grasp where my heart is. My preference is not to speak about judgment. I feel a little bit like Jeremiah when he was called by God and he said, "Don't call me, call somebody else." He said, "I'm too young." Well, I couldn't say that I'm too young to preach. But at the same time, Jeremiah makes some very harsh statements against Israel and Judah. And I want to say that I love the Church of Jesus Christ. I've given my life to the Church of Jesus Christ, to those who belong to him, and to a local church here in Chicago. But at the same time, when I read the book of Revelation and see what Jesus said to the seven churches, I realize that sometimes he speaks words of rebuke to the church, sharp words of rebuke. Just think of what he said to the church at Laodicea, for example. And that's why we need this balance. I want you to listen carefully not only to the messages that have been given already, and in a moment you'll be given information as to how those messages can be yours, but as you continue to listen to this series, I hope that your heart will be both made very heavy to pray for our country, but also I want you to receive hope, especially the good news of the gospel. If our ministry has been a blessing to you, would you let us know? Would you connect with us? We're always encouraged when we hear from you. Some of you pray for us. You help us financially. From my heart to yours today, I want to say thank you, because without your support and your help for us, we could not continue.
That was Erwin Lutzer with more of When Darkness is Called Light and Light Darkness, the second message in a series on the Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a Spirit-filled witness. Next time, why we should weep for America. The Church in Babylon is a 10-part series on CD, and we'd like to send you that series as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.